Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Wednesday to you. Well, we've got a very, very important show for you today. I'm very expectant about both hours, and as you know, if you listen often enough, I'm very honest about my tendency at times to battle fear. And when I watch too much of the news and forget to look up, I can get tied up in knots over the fear and the chaos of what's going on today. But Jesus says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And when you unpack that verse, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive and available to us. Love, I've studied that word in that context, and it's sacrificial love, lay down your life kind of love, love that reaches out to the vulnerable and to the least and to the lost. And a sound mind is don't lose your head, you know, that God has given us self-restraint and self-discipline and a right track and a right way to think. And so when we look at a spirit of fear that rises up and compels us to cover our head and hunker down, that's not from God. That's a spirit of fear. But a spirit of power, love, and sound mind is how God equips us. And really one of my favorite guests, I love to have him on. In fact, he comes on every month for our Grace and Truth Grace and Truth with Craig Mambuzek. That's what we call it. And so I just let the cat out of the bag. Craig's joining us again today. We're going to address some of the issues that are really front and center in the news today. ISIS, Pastor Saeed, Israel, even our nation, and how to pray, how to stand in this day. Second hour, my friend Dr. Greg Smalley will come back, and we're going to talk about balancing family, faith, and life. So as I said, we got a couple of packed, important hours for you. So here's my question for you. How do you pray for our culture? How do you even engage in our culture? Do you find yourself hunkering down, covering your head, or do you rise up and pray from a place of authority and sound mind? Do you rise up and pray from a place of knowing who you are? Okay, I'm going to get Craig on in a moment. Two quick announcements. One, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And so if you appreciate your pastor, which we all should, right? If you don't, I challenge you to start appreciating him. But we have a wonderful week-long getaway, a Sunscape retreat, and the information is on our homepage on the website. Nominate your pastor, and we'll send him and his wife off to a week getaway, beautiful retreat center where they can get rest and refueled. So check out our website, myfaithradio.com. And finally, it's still not too late to sign up for the Women's Conference that I'll be speaking at this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Bethel E. Free in the Fargo-Moorhead area. And that information is on my Facebook page. Okay, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get this conversation started. Craig Mambuzek is an author, speaker, contributing writer, and former producer for CBN.com, the official website of the Christian Broadcasting Network. Craig's books include Praying the News and Nobody Knows, the Harry T. Burleigh Story. You can find his influencer page at our website, myfaithradio.com. Craig, so good to have you back with us again today.
Susie, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, let's talk verses now. We love to start out talking passages of Scripture and wondering if there's either a life verse or a verse that just the Lord's been speaking to you about these days.
Well, as I've been preparing for today's program, this verse jumped out at me, and I said, that's the one. It's Isaiah 62, verse 1, and this is taken from the New Living Translation. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch.
Talk about that passage, Craig.
The Bible tells us clearly that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. While we as Christians recognize that we are a part of spiritual Israel, we are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith, we are, the Apostle Paul makes clear, grafted in to the root, and that is the original people of Israel, the blood of Abraham's seed, from which came our scriptures and from which came our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And so while we are blessed to be a part of spiritual Israel, we also know that God still upholds his covenant with natural Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in all three of the covenants that God made, and, you know, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. So God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, three witnesses. And in all three, if you look at the wording there of the covenant, he says to them, in you and your seed, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so that is the seminal moment for God to begin his work of redeeming mankind back to himself through what Jesus would do on the cross. And that is why Israel is important. That is why Jerusalem is important. That is why we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for the Jewish people. We need to pray for the nation of Israel. And we need to pray that God's will would be done. We are in, we have entered into a new phase in the last few months of where the world is going. And we're going to look back on 2014 and say, this was a turning point year for the world. And we need to understand why, and we need to be praying that God would do what he needs to do for his will to be done and for his kingdom to come on the earth.
Indeed. And when you think that Israel really is sort of is the timepiece in the end times narrative, I mean, we need to watch Israel. We need to pray for Israel. And when we look at the events surrounding Israel and involving Israel, we need to be aware of such things. And it's interesting to me, as I've been studying some of the end times just scripture and commentaries around it, how America is conspicuously absent from the end times story in scripture. And I've read just different commentators on why that is. But when I think of that whole picture, Craig, it's so concerning to me that we have pulled back from Israel, that we've stopped blessing Israel so overtly. And in fact, I heard from somebody who would make regular trips to Israel, and they said, you know, as an American, they would roll out the red carpet, they would greet us and say, friend, ally, and even though we are regulars, we visit and we minister there, that's not been the case, that their feelings towards Americans have cooled because they've sensed the distance. I mean, what say you when you look at just the end time clock ticking and America's involvement or lack thereof with Israel? What comes to your mind?
Well, I think it's a direct connection to the spiritual state of the United States of America. And as the nation goes with regards to its heart towards the Lord, so goes our relationship to Israel, mm-hmm. because Israel is important to the Lord. And so if we don't, as a nation, consider our relationship with the Lord important, we will not consider our relationship with Israel important. I mean, they're directly linked. Mm. And when you look back through time, you see people like Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, who made statements about the Jews and about radical Islam all the way back 100-plus years ago now. 100 years ago or less with Woodrow Wilson. But needless to say, this is nothing new, what is going on here. But what is new since that time is that the fulfillment of God's prophecy that he would draw his people back to the land of promise from all the nations of the world has taken place and continues to take place on a daily basis as Jews come back to Israel from the four corners of the earth. And I don't see how anyone who is truly open to what is truth can look at that and not be amazed at that miracle. And Jesus said, look to the fig tree, and that's Israel. And when you see it budding, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. It's budding like crazy right now, and we need to be looking up, and we need to be prepared, and we need to be praying that God's will would be done in this time, because we're entering, I believe, into a critical time in the world and in world history.
And that's just, this is why I'm so glad we have you on once a month. I wish we could bring you on once a week. We might have to think that through. But I'm telling you, Craig, this is such a sobering time, as you know. And it's, I mean, Christians who are prayers, everybody that I know that takes their prayer life very seriously with regards to world events is just sober in spirit right now. And yes. This isn't something that the next election will fix. I mean, the end time clock is ticking, and we don't know when that is, but we can watch the birth pains. And so, Craig, when you think of if the with the sense that America politically is distancing himself so much from Israel, but we as Christians can still draw near. We can still pray. We don't have to align with the nation's posture. Do you know what I'm saying? So speak to that, just how we can honor God, even if maybe our leaders are maybe taking more of a neutral stance.
Well, the great abolitionist and former slave, Frederick Douglass, was banging the drum throughout the Civil War saying, this is about slavery. When even Abraham Lincoln was saying it was about preserving the Union, Frederick Douglass kept banging the drum. This is about slavery. This is about slavery. This is about slavery. And eventually everybody realized, oh, this is about slavery. And so towards the end of his life, somebody came to him and said, you know, I want to get involved in the struggle for racial equality and freedom in America. What would be your advice? And Frederick Douglass's advice was simply this: agitate, my son, agitate, agitate, agitate. And that is my answer to your question. What do we as Christians need to do today? Agitate, engage, be involved. Do not put your head in the sand. This is a time for believers to rise up. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, 32 says, those who know their God shall be strong and shall do mighty exploits. This is a time for us to say, I'm all in. We are facing probably the most perilous time since World War II. And in my opinion, I think it's even more perilous than World War II, because what we're seeing here is the potential attack, once again, just like in World War II, on the Jews, but in this case, the nation of Israel and civilization as we know it. I know that sounds hyperbolic, but it's not. Mm-hmm. We are facing the pulling back of everything that has taken place in the last 1,200 years of the advancement of civilization as we know it. And it's very serious. It's very real. I mean, when you have people in Australia who have taken the cue from ISIS to start doing beheadings on the street and in the malls and videotaping them and send them in, thank God the police uncovered that plot in Australia for that, and they were able to arrest them. But only a few days later, a person who had recently converted to Islam in Oklahoma City in the United States went in, and yes, he was disgruntled, and they're trying to play it down, but you can't help the fact that this person embraced Islam and then went and cut a co-worker's head off in Oklahoma City. That happened last week. There's been a whole new thing unleashed in the world today, spiritually, politically, militarily. And now is the time for Christians to say, all right, in every way that I can, I will engage. I will engage in prayer. I will engage in political action. I will engage in supporting the troops. But whatever I need to do, I'm going to be involved, because this is the time to rise up. Those who know their God will be strong and will do exploits. And now is the time. Men and women of God, rise up to the place that God would have you to be.
Mm. And to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, I interviewed Chuck Swindoll. We'll be airing that in the next few weeks, I think.
And wonderful.
Yes. And I mean, I told Grace, I said, I feel like I've just talked to Moses. I mean, he's just such a man of God and a man of the word. And it was an amazing time. But one thing he said is, we were talking about the biblical illiteracy in our day and saying, golly, we have multiple translations of scripture in our homes, where third world countries might have, a chapter of the Bible for a whole village. We've got, you know, Google, we've got all these study helps. But we were talking about the biblical illiteracy is like at an all-time high. And he said, I just got to say a word about that. He said, we are very nearing the time where it's very possible for us as Christians in America to be imprisoned for our faith. And especially going along with what you're saying about agitating, if we take our stand and say, I can't compromise on this, you know, we could do some time for our faith. And he's saying, I just got to ask you, how much of God's word is in you? Because if you get your Bible taken away, you get put in prison. How much of his word is hidden in your heart? How much of an encouragement will you be to your cellmates, and how much of a drain will you be? And that just was one of those stop in your tracks questions. And so I know we're going to talk more about ISIS, about praying the news, but I just want you to make a case for how we are to stand. And this is wartime, and standing, as you and I have talked about you know, so many times before isn't shaking your fist and yelling at the people you disagree with, but there's a spiritual way to stand in a way that's effective. So speak to that, Craig.
Well, the scripture says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So Jesus is the one who brings freedom. He's the Prince of Peace, and he's the one who opens our eyes to know what is truth. And then once you know the truth, then you can walk in that, and that brings freedom. And this is how Jesus said it in the scripture. He said, if, and so we say, okay, if what? If you remain in my word, he said, then you are truly my disciples. Then, as a result, it's an if-then statement. Then, as a result, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me go over that again. Jesus said this, if you remain in my word, then you're my disciple indeed. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if we find ourselves in situations, and I agree with you, and I agree with Chuck Swindoll, that we are facing some perilous times where in standing up for what we believe is true, in standing up for what we believe is the Word of God revealed by the Holy Spirit, we may find ourselves imprisoned. We may find ourselves persecuted. We may find ourselves on the outside of society and shunned and blackballed and so forth. It's in those times, as Chuck Swindoll said, that we need to have the Word of God planted deep in our hearts so that we will not say and falter in those times of difficulty, those times of despair, but that we would be like Stephen. You think about the wonderful man of God, Stephen. He wasn't even an apostle. He was a deacon. We forget that. Stephen was somebody who served by cleaning the tables and by serving food. He was a man who had a servant's heart. And yet when confronted by the religious corrupt leaders of the day with who is Jesus and you need to reject Jesus, what came forth from his mouth? The Word of God. The history of God's redemptive plan for Israel spewed forth from his mouth in glorious detail. It was like a golden flow. And they were so angry about it that they stoned him to death, which is the consequences that we could face. But at that time, he looked up and he saw Jesus very accepting. And he said, you know, don't charge this against them, but forgive them, Lord, in the same way that Jesus did on the cross. And it was that moment that I believe Paul, or Saul of Tarsus at that time, as he stood there watching this, I believe his heart was pricked, and it set him on the road towards coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Throughout history, when Christians have stood in the midst of persecution, it has amazed those around them. And that's why the saying is, the blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church. And anytime there's been persecution, the church has exploded in growth. And so this is a time for us to truly hide the Word of God in our heart. This is a time for us to stand up when the time comes in boldness and say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the Bible says, and the promise is there, that when you are brought before the assembly, do not worry what you will say, for I, by my Holy Spirit, will give you the words to say. And so we need to be, like Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. Now is the time for us to be hiding the word of God in our heart, so that when we do stand before the assembly, the Holy Spirit can grab hold of those things in our heart, bring them to our memory, and speak forth that truth that can set other Sauls of Tarsus free. And who knows where it can go from there.
Oh, that is so good. And when that word is coming out of your mouth that's been in your heart, it's living and powerful, and it cuts.
Yes.
It's a double-edged sword. I mean, that is where it's not just a set of words or a string of sentences. It's God's word coming out of your mouth in a time of crisis, and there's just life in it. And this might be a good time to just even reset on what the gospel is about, because if we think the gospel is a gospel of comfort, that you come to Jesus and your marriage will get better and your kids will have a good place to play, and you know, there are benefits that are side benefits to walking with God. You'll have seasons of grace and your marriage might get better, but some, their marriage gets worse. I mean, that's not the gospel. The gospel is life on earth is short. Eternity is long. You know, there's a wrath that is to come, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I think if we can reset and get our feet back on the rock of the truth and the radical power of the gospel to save us, I think we can better, I think we'll be better able to love not our lives even unto death. So you say that so much more eloquently than me, but Craig, you know what I'm saying, that if we have this kind of spread out kind of prosperity message that kind of mingles in with our comfort and it's all the gospel to us, the rug will be pulled out from underneath us and we won't be able to stand. But if we really understand it for what it is, everything else is rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing him. So speak to that.
Absolutely. Jesus said very clearly, he said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And because of me, there will be brother against brother, and there will be husband against wife, wife against husband, and so forth. He speaks, you know, it was so radical, the things that he said, and yet it's talking about our love for God being the most important thing. He said, if you put husband, wife, father, mother, anything in front of me, it's you have to hate that thing in relationship to how much you love me. And yet throughout history, anybody who's studied the history of the church knows that throughout history there have been those who have had to pay the ultimate price, those who have been imprisoned, those who have been tortured, those who have lived a life of poverty, extreme poverty, and yet they were exactly in the center of God's will. So those people who say, you know, if you're in God's will, you're going to have this financial prosperity, that simply doesn't jive with Scripture and it doesn't jive with history. So there is sometimes a call for people to lay down their lives, and that is what, in the book of Revelations, it said that's how we overcome the enemy. When we're entering into this time, I believe it's very clear that the enemies that we're facing are demonically and satanically inspired. But the Bible says in Revelation, they, the believers, overcame him, the devil, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, which is our salvation. That's where it all begins. But then by the word of our testimony, which is what we're talking about here. When it's time to stand up and speak, we need to stand up and speak. And then the third part of that is loving not their lives, even unto death. And that could be physical death, but it also could be death to your career. It could be death to your place in society. You have this, you know, your family's been a leading member of the community over the decades and over the generations. Well, it could come to a point where you have to decide, am I going to compromise so that I can continue to be a leading member of society, quote unquote, or am I going to obey God and obey a higher law and give up my place of prestige, power, and privilege in order to follow the truth of the gospel and to stand up for what is truly right. Those are the kind of things that I believe are already happening to people around the country, and they're going to just happen more and more.
Mm. And we just have a moment here before we take a break. But when you think about what Jesus did, and that life on earth truly is short. This isn't all there is. It's far from it. But how we live here does echo into how we live there. Then we're not going to white knuckle things as so much, because faith is going to be the thing that matters. Hope is going to be what matters. Love is going to be what matters. And yeah, to me, that's an otherworldly way to live. But I think you almost need that reset every day, because we can be so swept up in the culture and the cares of this world. What do you say?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct, and that is why we need to keep our eye on the prize. You know, the Bible says that the person who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. A perfect Old Testament type of that is Lot's wife. You know, she desired to look back, even though the angels told her, don't look back on that thing. God was leading them out of Sodom, leading them out of that worldly place, leading them out of that place of iniquity and sin. And the angel said, do not look back. But she still had that connection to the world. And she looked back, and it was her undoing, and she died. She became a pillar of salt. And that is a type and an example for us. We need to be very careful that we recognize that we are not of this world. As believers, as the followers of Jesus Christ, this is not our home. Mm-hmm. Our home is heaven. We are here as his representatives. As Tolkien said, we are the regents holding a place of authority in the earth until the return of the king.
Oh.
And that's what's important.
Love that. I've got three copies of Craig's book, Praying the News. Your prayers are more powerful than you know. When we come back, we're going to talk about ISIS. We're going to talk about America. We're going to talk about you. What's your call to stand in this day? You're here for such a time as this. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. We'll be right back. Believe that's true. God is on our side. I love that. Boy, if God is for us, who can stand against us? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got my friend Craig Von Buzek on. We have him on once a month for our Grace and Truth feature, where we look at the events of the world, the news, through the filter of grace and truth, as Scripture calls us to. And Craig's just my favorite person to talk to about these things because he's such a man of great faith. He's a man of history, a man of the Word, and he's a reporter, so he knows what he's talking about. And Craig, you know me enough now to know that there's times when if I look away from the Word, if I look too long at the news, I do get stirred up in fear. I mean, just I think as a child, being beat up by a group of boys as a young girl and jumped and pinned down, I mean, those things, when you've been ambushed like that, it's horrifying. And so you start to see what ISIS does. I can default to fear unless I have to just pull myself back to the place of faith. And so before we talk about ISIS, speak to that listener who's like me, who can go to that place of fear if they look too long at all the things that are happening in this world.
Yeah. Boy, it's we live in a difficult world, and there are dangers in this world, and we do our best as parents, as spouses, to protect those around us, and yet there are times when the enemies crowd in around us all around, and I have a hard time even grasping the news reports I'm reading right now, Suzy, where they're speaking of children being beheaded, babies being crushed to death in front of their parents because they refuse to renounce their Christian faith. This is happening today. I mean, this isn't something from years ago. This is today, and this threat is growing and is real. And it's a time where we have to realize that we must trust in our Lord, because some will trust in horses, some will trust in chariots, but our recognition in this world is that we can only trust in the name of our God. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is the protector. And so there is that place where we need to go to hide under the shelter of his wings, the Psalm 91 place of peace and of refuge. But also we recognize that the Bible also says, and this is the counterbalance to that, that when the foundations crumble, how can the righteous stand? And we are seeing a crumbling of foundations. So our role at this time is to stand and to uphold the foundations as best we can on whatever level of influence that we have. So if one is in politics, they need to address it there. If one is in the military, address it there. If one is in business, address it there. If one is raising children, to raise them in the truth and the admonition of the Lord. If one is an educator, to speak truth and to stand up for truth, because there's all kinds of falsehood that is being said out there in the world. But when it comes to the fear, we need to go back to the Scriptures and recognize that God said he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. No matter what we're up against, he's there. He's Emmanuel. He is our Lord and he is our Savior. And his grace is sufficient for whatever we face. But we do face difficult times, and that's the reality. And so it's this balance of, on one hand, standing up and recognizing we're in difficult times and we need to stand strong for truth in whatever area of influence that we have, and on the other hand, to say, but my shield, my buckler, my strong and mighty tower is the Lord our God. And that's where we find our rest and our peace in the midst of a dangerous world.
It really makes you so thankful on such a deeper level that Christ came to earth, because you think of the times, what the times were like when he came into earth as a vulnerable baby in such a time of political upheaval, that he would leave his throne and leave heaven and come to earth as a vulnerable baby for this, for us. And I think about that with Christmas. You know, I love Christmas. I love giving gifts. I love everything about just loving people and, you know, and celebrating Christ's birth. But when you put it in the context of the times we are in now, the times that were when Jesus came, I feel like it makes you just back up on a much deeper level and see it as such a sacred, amazing thing. When you said Emmanuel, something just jumped in me, Craig, that he's not left us orphans. He is with us. I mean, that Christmas story, God is still with us, isn't he?
Amen. And, you know, the thing that we can take comfort in is that Scripture says that the story of our life was written before we were ever conceived. God already has our plan, a plan for our lives that's already foreordained. And in the same way that in that dangerous, unbelievably dangerous world that Jesus came into as a helpless child, the Lord, the Father, and his angels watched over his Son to see that the plan of God was carried out in the life of Jesus. Well, here's the wonderful news. We have a covenant with God that is sealed in the blood of Jesus, and therefore we can stand. That's why the Apostle Paul declared that in him we live and move and have our very being. Because we have a covenant with God, we are also his sons and his daughters, and he is our Father. And therefore we can stand and say, because I am his, Jesus said that I will be held in the Father's hand and he will not let me go. So I can trust in my day-to-day walk that God is leading my steps. I love to quote that scripture, Psalm 37:23-24, the steps of the righteous, that means a believer, anyone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in our way, which means that when we walk in his way, he delights in that. He delights in our way as we follow after him. That's the first verse, which is the promise. Then the second verse is the safety net. Verse 24, and even if we stumble, we will not be utterly cast down because he upholds us with his hand. Wow. Mm. That's such a wonderful promise that on the one hand, our steps are ordered of him and he's already foreordained it. On the other hand, if I fall into sin, if I make a mistake, if my flesh rises up and I do something I shouldn't do, there's that safety net there to uphold me. And then the Bible says, if I do sin, I can confess my sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Boom, I'm right back to verse 23. What a wonderful, wonderful covenant that we have because of what Jesus did on the cross.
And I think that is what we need to do again and again. We need to return to these promises that declare that God is God Most High. When you think of Scripture, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. If we exalt the problems of the world where they seem bigger than God, already we're losing perspective. And so I just know for me that I need much larger doses of Scripture than I'd get of the news. I want to stay in tune with what's going on in the world. But now you're looking at this thing, ISIS. It's so demonic. There's just no other way to put it. The way that God feels about children and the way the enemy feels, I think you're seeing the contrast right before us. What do you sense, Craig, is ahead in the year ahead? Is there just a sense in your spirit, unless we pray? But I mean, what are you sensing is going to unfold, and how are you being led to pray?
I'm being led to pray that God would give great wisdom to our leaders.
Me too. Yeah.
And political leaders, church leaders, and military leaders, and business leaders as well. Our leaders need more wisdom now than they've ever needed since World War II. So we need to be praying that God would give the leadership of our nation and of the free nations of the world wisdom at this time. We need it badly. This whole thing with ISIS got out of control because I believe that we didn't take seriously the threat. ISIS didn't come from nowhere. They were part of Al-Qaeda. And I was listening to Jay Sekulow as he was speaking and from the American Center of Law and Justice. And Jay has a particularly important insight here because in his grandfather's generation, over 200 of his relatives were wiped out in the Holocaust. Jay is a Messianic believer. And so he has a special connection to the people of Israel, and he has a special understanding and concern for what's going on in the Middle East right now. And he said that Osama bin Laden and his lieutenants were so repulsed by the tactics of ISIS that they kicked them out of Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
That's how bad these people are. And so this person, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, declared himself the caliph and set up a caliphate. And what a caliph basically means is a religious king. And so he set himself up as king, and now he has 40,000 soldiers fighting underneath his self-proclaimed nation. See, this is something that we need to recognize, is that the eastern part of Syria doesn't exist anymore. The western part of Iraq doesn't exist anymore. It is now a part of a new nation that has been declared by ISIS. And so this is major, major stuff. Now, you'll notice that the president didn't call this group ISIS when he first addressed the nation. He called them ISIL, and he actually was quite correct in saying that. ISIS stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, but ISIL is actually the more correct term for this group, which stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. What is the Levant? The Levant is the former territory of the Islamic Turkish Ottoman Empire, which includes all of Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, part of Iraq, that whole area. Their goal is to take back what they lost in World War I. And so this is, they're doing this with amazing strategy and strength. And so, you know, I mean, I know right now we're using these airstrikes and Tomahawk missiles, but I think it's inevitable that there's going to have to be troops on the ground to fight this and to contain this, because if it doesn't, it's going to spread, and we could be looking at World War III, and I don't say that lightly.
Mm. And what are your thoughts about ISIL members or ISIS members in the U.S. or even crossing the border?
Well, it's interesting. Jay, in his interview earlier this week, he said that there are more soldiers, Muslim soldiers, that have gone to fight for ISIS than there are in the British military.
Wow.
So, you know, they have these jihadists have gone to fight for ISIS, and we know that there are Americans who, you know, were indoctrinated through local mosques, but primarily through the internet. And so they, you know, they bought the indoctrination, and some of them have gone, but there are others who have stayed, and they are there are sleeper cells throughout the United States, throughout Britain, throughout the free countries of the world. We know that there have been threats in France, threats in Australia. There in Syria, a woman who had fought for human rights this week was assassinated by ISIS. This is a threat against modern civilization. It's a threat against Judeo-Christian belief system. And we need to be praying that God would give wisdom to those who are our leaders at this critical time.
Boy, do we ever. So this is a time not to be shaking your fist around the political polarization. I mean, whether you're for this government or not, they need wisdom. We need them, yes, to have wisdom. So pray for them. And here's a couple excerpts from your book, Praying the News. I love this book.
Thank you.
I really do. You write, "We live at a time in history when it's critical for the church to learn to be led by the Spirit in prayer. God wants to raise up a company of intercessors to pray the news, which is to watch, read, or listen to the news, then intercede for God's will to be done in the issues we face today. In another page, you write, as we pray God's will on earth, we're standing as a priest or intermediary between God and man. This is why we pray the news. God's intention from the beginning of time is that we would carry his delegated authority. And I wanted to just highlight that because I know that's your heart. That's my heart, too, that as we take an honest look at the seriousness of the day, then we go open the Word and we say, okay, God, how can I stand in the gap? And I think it's Psalm 75:10. It says, I will cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. I pray that every single day for our business leaders, political leaders, church leaders, and especially for the sake of the vulnerable in some of these countries where their daily existence is war and insecurity. But make a charge to us even more so that I just feel like, you know, 5 minutes a day in this day with the Lord isn't enough. And I don't say that in a legalistic way. I say that be mobilized, wake up, because we all need to stand on the wall and take our place. Quit something else if it keeps you from praying, but it's time to pray. Now, what do you say?
Well, I agree. This is the time for us to recognize the true power of prayer. My co-author, Wendy Griffith, she's a co-host of the 700 Club and a news reporter at CBN, and she insisted that we include the subtitle there of the book, Praying the News, Your Prayers Are More Powerful Than You Know. And she was absolutely correct in doing so, because a lot of times we get discouraged, we get weary in well-doing, we think sometimes that our prayers just hit an iron dome above us and don't go any further than the ceiling, but that's not true. We see throughout Scripture where there is, we get glimpses into heaven, and I think of Daniel and how the archangel Michael was battling Satan. And after the battle was done, and it seemed like it took forever, he finally came and spoke to Daniel and said, your prayers have been heard. Now, Daniel didn't know that this battle was taking place in the heavenly. He just knew time was going by and nothing was changing. But when the enemy was defeated by the forces of heaven, then the revelation came that your prayers have been heard. And so quite often we feel this feeling of, Lord, why aren't you answering? And sometimes it seems like it's 11:59 and 59 seconds before the answer comes. Believe me, I've been there. But the Bible says, do not stand back, but instead, having done all to stand, stand in your faith. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said it this way, and it is interesting language, and we talk about that in Praying the News, that Jesus is talking about an ongoing activity in prayer. See, sometimes we think, well, I prayed. I only need to pray once and that's it. But the language that Jesus uses when speaking of prayer is ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and then the door will be opened to you. He gives the parable of the neighbor who kept knocking insistently because she needed something in the night. And there was a wealthy, powerful neighbor who didn't want to get up, but because the door was knocked upon incessantly and wouldn't stop being knocked upon, that wealthy and powerful person stood up and took care of the need of the other person. Now, that's a kind of a negative way of looking at it, but the truth of the matter is God wants us to knock and keep on knocking, to ask and keep on asking, to seek and keep on seeking. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things. And what are all these things? Well, whatever we need in prayer, whether that be protection or provision or direction or wisdom or whatever it might be, those things will be added to you if you seek first the kingdom and put your hand to the plow and don't look back.
Oh, good word. I'm trying to remember which story you tell in Praying the News. I think it was the Reese Howell story, but a story of, I think it was students praying and some leaders praying and really affecting the outcome of a particular war. And I would love if you remember, you know, forgive me if I'm piecemealing that together, but to share that, because I'm thinking just right now as I'm listening to you talk, how powerful it would be for those listening, get together with friends, or maybe you already have a life group. Let part of your time be to intercede for our nation, intercede for the body of Christ all over the world, for our persecuted brothers and sisters, with the faith in mind that our prayers are more powerful than we know, and our prayers can actually change the history, the storyline of what's playing out today. So go, Greg, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the story of Reese Howells, who was the head of a Christian school in the United Kingdom during World War II. And Hitler had basically defeated all of Europe. All of Europe had fallen before Hitler and the Nazis and the fascists, Mussolini and so forth. And Britain was the last bastion of freedom. You think about that. It's hard to even imagine today. But they were on the verge of being destroyed by the Nazis and having all of Britain and all of Europe under the control of the Nazis. And the thing about Adolf Hitler and about the Nazis that we need to realize is that they were bent on world domination. They were not going to stop with Europe. In fact, they had already invaded northern Africa, and they were making plans to move into Asia. They wanted world domination. They wanted to be the master race. And all that smacks in the face of revealed truth through the Bible, of biblical Christianity, of love and the fruit of the Spirit. And so Reese Howells said, our Bible college students are going to pray on a daily basis and pray that this would be pushed back, and that the enemies of God would be defeated. And so they started praying in this tiny little Bible college, and word got out to the surrounding community about the prayer, and so people from the community started to pray. And then word got out to the surrounding region, and so people in the region started to pray. And then word got out to the other regions across Great Britain, and one by one, city after city started to pray, to the point where the leaders of the government all started to pray. And to this day, nobody knows why, but Hitler called off the attack, and it allowed the English, it allowed the British to retool, to set up their defenses, and it put a stop to the defeat of England in the Battle of Britain. And, you know, we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe that this is a tremendous example from history that can be and should be retold and reacted in our day as well.
And so let that be a motivator for you to pray. I remember reading an article, I think it was last week, about a 15-year-old who had escaped one of those being abducted by ISIS. And I think she, if I remember right, she was separated from her brother and her dad. And she and some young girls were raped in this tent. It's just so horrid. But I think I read that her brother was grafted in as like a child soldier to this army. And that is another horrifying thought, because these kids, you know, being forced to fight, you know, that made me start to pray just in a whole different way of how many people who are in that army that are scared for their own lives. I mean, and so, oh my Lord. Oh,
yes.
Intervene, right?
Yeah. Amen. Mm. Amen. Now is the time for us to believe the word of God and to take it literally and recognize that the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. I love how Wendy says that. She says it doesn't say avails little. It says it avails much. So we need to be praying fervently at this time more than ever before in our lifetime.
Jeff Kinley wrote this in his book, As It Was in the Days of Noah. He says, as Christians, we may become discouraged as we consider the ever-worsening injustices and wrongs in our world. We might even conclude God has already abandoned us, leaving all humanity to ruin. But the Lord isn't finished with our world yet. He's at work everywhere, in every nation. Wherever there are people, there are God's people and his Spirit working in and through them, impeding sin while advancing his kingdom. John's words still ring true. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Mm. Yes.
Well, I'm wondering if you want to just leave us with a final thought before we pray. But as you're looking at the news, as you're considering just our charge as believers, any final thoughts you want to leave with us?
Well, I think a key verse that we should go back to is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, And so God's talking to believers here. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about non-believers. He's talking about his people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. This needs to be our rally cry in this day and in this hour, that we would humble ourselves before the Lord, where we've been arrogant, where we've said we can do it in our own strength or our military, if we've trusted in horses and chariots instead of trusting in the name of our God. We need to repent and recognize that, no, the only reason that we have been strong as a nation is because we put God first and we've declared him as Lord. If we turn away from that, if we turn away from Judeo-Christian morality and ethics, I believe that God will not provide the protection or the provision and blessing that he's provided throughout the centuries here in the United States of America, and we will face the consequences of that, and I shudder at that thought. So if my people will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. That's the promise that we can hold on to in this day and in this hour.
Yes, and if we are seeking a revival in this nation, and may it start with you as you pray and as you seek his face and you repent and you bow low, wow, may God rise up. Well, Craig, this is always such a powerful time. As we wrap up, I'm wanting you to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in unimaginable ways. We just want to join with you as you pray for us.
Father, your word says that before the throne of God are the martyrs who have been killed for standing up before you and, or for you, and who declare out to you, O Lord, when will you avenge our deaths for you? And Lord, you have said that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Father God, we are not looking for anyone here on earth to have the sword come against them, because your word says that you do not wish that any would perish, but that all would come to salvation. However, you also say, do not touch the weak, do not touch the orphan, do not touch the child. And you have said in your word, Lord God, that those who are righteous and those who follow you are to defend those who are weak, to defend the widow, to defend the orphan, and to defend those who are persecuted. So, Father God, in this time, we are facing great difficulty, and our brothers and sisters around the world are facing persecution, they're facing terror, they're facing even torture, and in some cases, they're facing death. We just pray, Lord God, that you would be with our brothers and sisters in a special way. We ask for your special grace to be with them, that they would have peace to endure, that they would know that you are with them, and Lord God, that you would protect. Father, we pray that they would hear that voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, Lord God.
Amen. Hour 2 is up next. What a powerful hour. Dr. Greg Smalley is up next for Hour 2. Don't go away.